I really don't know. Rashi somehow must have found something we have to see, decipher. Where did Rashi know from these words, Hine Yoim Bo La Hashem? We have to study the entire Tanakh.
He liked the word Chavid.
Where in the pasuk did Rashi see that this day is going to be a day that's chaviv? What was the word that triggered Rashi to write chaviv? Is it the word hine? Hine usually means in Tanakh the unexpected. V'hine soimim bivitna. V'hine le'ah.
Right.
Okay, the unexpected. The unexpected.
But is this unexpected?
V'hine, the unexpected. It's always used in Tanakh, the unexpected.
Hine. Why is it unexpected here?
Oh, that's the Mechol is asking another question. Why is this unexpected?
It's not unexpected.
Maybe to man it's unexpected. To Hashem, nothing is unexpected. That's an interesting. Oh, I got my apple from the teacher. Look at that. Rav Meir is here. Rav Meir Appeldorf. His name is Appeldorf for a reason, because he knows how to bring apples.
I guess from our perspective, yeah, it looks innate.
Right.
Hashem
from
knows
our
it.
Perspective, it looks like that it's unexpected. It's interesting. I go to a shir once in a while. I go to a shir on Sunday once in a while, where I hang out. Rabbi Schmidman, and he was giving a shir, and he was reading a medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made a goyel when it came to Matan Torah, an obscure medrash. Who should he give the Torah to? Never heard this medrash before. And Hashem made a goyel. And the girl came out, Klal Yisrael. So, okay, besides the fact that it's super duper bizarre, what in the world does that mean? That we've only been selected because it was a girl? Besides that, but how is it possible to even use the term a girl by Hashem? There's no such thing as a girl by Hashem. Hashem just casts lots. There's no chance by Hashem. By us,
most of the goros that we come across are fixed.
They're fixed, right. The goro that we come across, so even if even by us, we have a lottery, Soher La Hashem, Soher La Zozel, Chazal say it's predetermined.
That's right.
That the right side should be La Hashem and the left should be La Zozel. And if it doesn't go that way, then we're in a lot of trouble. That means Hashem is making a statement. Okay, Kihihipil Pur Hu Ha Goro. So it was meant to be. An Adar, Hashem already prepared the Shkolim of Klal, the Shkolim, the Refuah came before the Makkah. So from our perspective, I mean, we live in a world of Hester Panim, so there's something called a Goyrol. And even by us, if we have a Munah, that there's no such thing that happens by chance. But to say by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is making a Goyrol, I mean, what does that mean exactly? He left this as a Tzorach in Godol Ad Ma'ot. And Rav Mechol is coming to expand that question by taking note, Hine. If it is true that the word Hine has a definite connotation throughout Tanakh, the unexpected, and there are really many, many examples in Tanakh that support that thesis, how then can you possibly use that word in reference to Hashem? By Hashem, there's nothing unexpected. So to give a simple answer and say that Hashem makes that by us, it seems that Hashem does something, so that in our perspective, it looks like that it was even unexpected to Hashem. I don't know, that doesn't sit well with me. The question is really much greater than any answer. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to experience? It's something very, very deep in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's so much mitzamtzem himself. The answer has to lie in this idea, where we know that creation came about through the word Shakai. Shakai means She'omar le'oilamoy dai. Hashem said the world was unfolding, the world was expanding, and the world was reaching a state where it would be super obvious that Hashem is the creator. There would be no possibility to deny the fact that God created the world. When that was about to happen, when the world was developing to such a point where it would be so obvious, Hashem said, stop. I want the world to remain in an unfinished state. where my authorship, my creation, my ownership of this world should be concealed, and man should have free will to discover who indeed did create the world. Hashem left this world unfinished. The world is an unfinished world. And that's all part of the basic principles of creation, of Tzimtzum. Shakai, she'omar le'olamoy, dai. Hashem said to the world, stop. Stop the creation. I issue a stop order. The whole world, there's a big sign when you come into Olam Hazeh that says, by order of the sheriff, the mayor, and the governor, and the president of the United States, it is illegal to work, to continue any construction on this planet. Stop. Because what do you do when you look next door? What do they do next door to the shul? They build this magnificent building. It used to be just, I don't remember, what was there before? Some old houses, abandoned, haunted houses. So they uprooted the whole thing. They spent a few years digging and doing construction. What's the last thing they did? What was the last thing they did? They put on the front of the building letters, the mark, M-A-R-C, the mark. Mark, how do you spell your name? The K or C? The K. Well, they spell it with a C. Okay, they spell it with a C over here. The mark. Oh, now we know what the building is. The last thing they did in this massive construction project, literally next door, is they put up the sign called the mark. The authorship. Who is the owner? Who is the balabas? So if there's a stop order and you never reach that state, you're never going to know who the balabas is. So Hashem did that with this world. Now go even further. Go even further. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Tzimtzum, in the limitation of this world, he hid himself to such a degree that Hashem, who is infinite, he made it such, these are words, I don't understand what these words mean, I'm just saying words. He made it such an intensity of Tzimtzum, where he allowed this concept, whatever these words mean, that there should even be something called Hine by Hashem. He hid himself to such a degree from this world, and that only enhances man to have the pleasure of discovering Hashem. Ad kedei kach, I'm so hidden, I'm going to allow myself to experience something called, wow, the unexpected. The unexpected that the Jewish people will reign supreme, will be elevated and bring out Hashem's honor in this world. I mean, these are just words. These words don't really make any sense because this whole concept doesn't make any sense. But that's what it says. I mean, it does say the word over here, Hinei. How else are you going to explain this?
The only way to explain it is that to us, it appears.
Right, that's how I started, but that's very unsatisfying.
Yes.
That's too unsatisfying to say that. It's to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he did that from our perspective, it looks like Hashem is surprised. You know,
as in,
what? Yeah. So Yerem Chol said another pasuk. Hine lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer yisrael. So it's a very good example. Hine, if it is true, now the word hine means the unexpected. That indeed it is unexpected because we have a principle that man is created in the image of Hashem, and if every dimension, every concept that exists by Hashem exists by man. But there's a major exception. Sleep. Man must sleep. Man cannot go more than 72 hours without sleep. By Hashem it says, Hine, lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. So Rebbe Chol is saying, that's an exception. You know, and that's why it's called an exception, because Hine, it's the unexpected. Excellent. See, never the
I heard another explanation for Hine. When we learned many years ago, Halom Paro, the Hine Sheva Paro, the Hine, what's the Hine? The Hine is the obvious. It looks so real. It's so
explicit.
Real.
It's explicit.
It's my eye.
Explicit.
That's what it is. It doesn't say here Hine Yom Hashem. Hine Yom Ba.
It's obvious. It's a different connotation. Okay?
The young Hine, the day is coming. The uncle, no, the Targum here, he says something In a Hayoma de Atid Lemete Kudam Hashem, Lifnei Hashem. זאת אומרת, זה לא יום השם, יום בא. הנה, היום הזה בא. It's suddenly like Michal said that, we're very good, and also very real. It's gonna be. The Rostam is a day, a special day, like that.
Well, it's the last
right.
Post.
And that's why Rashi comments. That's
cool. It's suddenly, and it's right here.
Okay.
We don't see it.
That's the reason.
The word hine obviously has many meanings.
He's right. Because it uses both bo and lashem. That's why Rashi has to insert a word.
Chaviv. All right, let's go further. Yeah, maybe we'll see more. All right, this is very interesting. V'chulak shelalech b'kaveich shalol shetishlili me'oivayich. The shalol, the spoils of war that has been despoiled from you by your enemies. In other words, all of your property, your possessions that have been taken away from you and been plundered, been transferred to your enemy when they attacked you, when they destroyed you. Yechaluku yoshvayich bekerbech, your inhabitants, the people who live in the people who live in Yerushalayim, will once again, it will be distributed amongst you. In other words, you'll get it back. The Jewish people will divide; they will distribute the possessions of the nations. Begavich Yerushalayim, within you. In Yerushalayim. Notice over here it says it's the Shiva. Yerushalayim. I told you from the very authoritative sefer that whenever that in Aramaic it should be Yerushalayim with a segel. Alright, doesn't that whatever. There are obviously different opinions. Whoever put the Nikudos over here felt that it should be Yerushalayim, not Yeh, not with a segel. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Beis. What do you mean?
And here says a shalal that you are going to take from the oivim.
It's the same thing, isn't it? Is it not? No, one more time. Look, Mitzudas David. I think they're saying the same thing. Mitzudas David. Go back. Let me see. The Mitzudas David said. Let me find the pasuk. The Asafti. Atifarish, Eich Yifar, Eich Toshuv. Look at Papasik Beis in the Mitzudas. Eich Toshuv. It will return. The possessions are really ours. It's not, according to the Mitzudas, according to Rashi, it seems that the spoils, the wealth that we will inherit, we will acquire, was ours to begin with. It was just temporarily taken away. The Mitzudas of it says clearly, Ata Yefarish Eich Toshuv, how it will return. That's a key word. Lohem Shilolam, their possessions. Now, even though we're shalom spoils of war, but in this context it means their assets. The Omar, Hine, Oyelibos Kolagoyim, Him, Hel Gog Magog, Lissasi, Lovo Yelishlag, Muhammad, Benashasuk. It's explaining how a property will come back. And Rashi says just that. The Shalol, I'm going to translate loosely the word shalom to mean the assets. Shetishlili me'oivayich. You're right. Shetishlili me'oivayich. That you will acquire, you will despoil from your enemies. Yichalku yoyeshvayich bekebeich. Okay, so maybe you're right. Yes, I made a mistake. The Rashi makes no mention of a return. It's going to be new assets, new acquired wealth. According to the, you're right, I made a mistake. Dvarim shamarti tohu sembiyadim. Rav Kalman is correct. That according to the Mitzudas is saying that it's really ours. It's, we're getting back what we own, what was ours to begin with.
Way back.
Way back, right. Of course, we're spanning the entire history of going through a whole history. Going through, obviously it's not the person, it's the nation. Klal Yisrael as a whole. The collective neshama of Klal Yisrael. And according to Rashi appears to be saying that it's going to be new assets, new acquisition, new acquired wealth that we will inherit, we will possess at this time, at the defeat, the moment of defeat of Goig u'Magoig. Pasuk Beis, the Yeser Am lo Yikareis, the remnant of the people will not be cut off. Lo yiglu kulam. The pasuk says that some of the people will be victims of crime.
They will. Which
we're talking about the Jewish people, Yerushalayim, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Some of the people in Yerushalayim, they're going to be victims of crime. Some homes are going to be demolished, and there are going to be some homes that there's some women are going to be, it says, so they're going to be raped, and they're going to be exiled. But not everyone, they're going to be survivors. The Yeser Ha'am Lo Yikares Lo Yiglu Kulam V'lama Yanichem Lahag. Why? V'lama Yanichem Lehaglois Chetziam The Lish Sois Habotim. Why will Hashem allow them? Why does Hashem allow our enemies to exile a portion? V'lama Yanichem Lahaglois Chetziam The Lish Sois Habotim. Why did Hashem allow this to happen? Kidei Shlo Yehelam Pischen Pelemar Lo La Melchama Banu Kiim Lehishtachavois Banu. In order to, this is very profound. He's saying here, in order that the goyim, when they are be put on trial, they will not be able to argue. We didn't come to do harm to the Jewish people. We came to worship. We also, this is an amazing Rashi. You can appreciate what Rashi here says, and we looked at this before. He's saying is that, I'll put it like this. Today, let's put this in the context of the modern world. Today, the Palestinians, the Arabs. Okay, he doesn't like that word, or Michal hates that word. The Arabs who claim possession of Har Habayis, the Al-Aqsa.
Aqsa.
Is that correct? Aqsa?
Yeah.
The Al-Aqsa.
Like
Al-Aqsa. What's the cause of, what's the They're whatever they the Har Habayis. When they come. So what's going to happen? They'll say the day of reckoning will come, and they'll say we didn't have any intent to harm the Jewish people. We only came because we believe that it's ours, and we want to pray. We want to bow down. We want to worship. We want to worship in this temple. We didn't come to cause any harm to the Jewish people. You know what the proof is? Look, nothing happened. There was a war. There were over 4,000 missiles, and just about none of them actually penetrated. It's not true. There's an enormous damage. If you read the reports of how much damage did actually happen in Eretz Yisrael from the fallout, how many buildings were damaged, and let's not forget how many people lost their lives, two young children, and many other people died. Okay, but let's put that aside for a moment. Put it aside for the moment, the damage and the death, and pain, and damage. What do we do? We just wanted to come and pray in the temple. So, Rashi says, and then what would happen if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do the Klal Yisrael miracles? What would have been in Gaza in this last month if there would have been absolutely zero casualties? There would have been absolutely zero damage. And every single missile, every single thing they tried to do, miraculously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have protected us. So then, when their reckoning will come, and these animals will be taken to task for their crimes, what do? We didn't try to harm you. Look, we didn't do any harm to you. We didn't harm anyone. We just came there to pray in the temple. That is another outrageous lie. They couldn't care less about the temple, Matt. Just a show.
Most of
they're
the world
coming.
This.
Oh yeah, because the hatred has sinna mikalkeles es ashura. They hate us. So therefore, Rashi. This is what Rashi is saying. Something shocking. Rashi is saying, I'm gonna let them cause damage and harm. I'm gonna even 50%. Why? In order to take away that argument from them. Now you'll ask, how could that be? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us to suffer? There should be loss of life, and damage, and terror, and pain, just so that they should not be able to argue. We didn't do anything. We just came to daven, to pray in the Temple Mount. That's something which we don't have an answer for. But this is what Rashi says. I'm not making this up here. Rashi is saying something shocking. Why? Look at these words of Rashi. These words of Rashi are shocking. V'lama yanichem. Why will Hashem in time of the Mulchemes Goygu Magog, will Hashem allow them to have a partial victory and cause harm, damage, death to people? V'lama yanichem lahaglois to exel chetziam, the lishdois habatim, to demolish homes. And Rashi doesn't say the other part, to rape women, kidei, so that shelo yehe lohem pischoin peh, that if they will one day come to defend themselves, if their defense attorney will get up and say in the world court, they'll say, loymar, loylam ulchama banu, we never came there in order to cause any harm, we only came there to dive into the Temple Mount, right, the Temple Mount. Really? You came to pray peace, to be peaceful? That's why you forced your way into Eretz Yisrael? Why then did you rape women? Why then did you destroy the destroy property? Why did you murder people? Why did you rape the women? You're a bunch of liars. You're a bunch of animals. This is a shocking Rashi. But why should we have to suffer? Why should we have to suffer in order to take away from them their defense? Obviously, there are many dimensions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world in a very complicated way. And if Hashem allows a person to suffer, we have emunah pshuta that we deserve it, I mean, whatever that means, okay? It's atzur tamim polo kichol drachav mishpat. And there are many dimensions. And somehow we didn't work out for us that we should have merited that Hashem will take away their defense through other ways.
So what's the answer to the why?
There is no answer. Tzadik v'ra'loi.
Well, maybe.
Tzadik v'ra'loi.
Maybe when we get to Radak, we'll see a possible answer.
So Radak is going to give a different answer. Radak is going to give a different approach. But this is an incredible, incredible thing we're saying over here, is that the Hashem is a day of reckoning. We have to have emunah. There will be a day of reckoning. There is a yoyim, there's something called yoyim hadin. I think in America we don't really pay attention to that concept. It's very distant from us. Right, Eichmann. There was a trial, but you see that trial was okay. That's a major major topic of discussion. The trial. There's one flaw with Eichmann, and that we the Israelis put him on trial. It wasn't an international trial. If it would have been an international trial, he would have gone scot-free. They would have celebrated his accomplishments. They would put up flags all over. Eichmann's lives matter. Nazi lives matter on every embassy in the world. Okay, that's what they would have done. If it would have been a world court, an international court, so there would be an anniversary. Nazis' lives matter. That's what it would be. Just like yesterday, all over the world. All over the world, Black Lives Matter. Really, right. Really, unbelievable. It's literally not to be believed. So Eichmann, it's a problem, because who put him on trial? We put him on trial. He was tried by Israelis. So the conclusion is it's a given. You try to kill us. You did kill us. How do you know you hate us? How do you know you wanted to kill us? Because you did kill us.
So
you said Nuremberg. Okay, so Nuremberg, there was also... The Nuremberg was not a fair. It was also slanted. The Yom Hadin is only by Hashem. Okay, we don't live in a world of MS. We live in a world of Shekra. Alma de Shekra. And because the whole thing doesn't even exist, there's no such thing as MS or Shekra in this world. And it's frightening. The whole, you know, it's so frightening that in the United States of America, which we feel to be the place where there is the greatest opportunity for MS and Mishpat, today, out of nowhere, the judicial system is totally politicized. It's just unbelievable. It's like if you're a judge of Democrats, then this is how they decide. If a judge is a Republican, the facts don't matter. The facts don't matter anymore. Everything is just politics. Everything is politics. It's frightening. It's so far removed from us. The way you get something done is you have to vote, but you can't even vote anymore because you're afraid that the people who are in charge of the voting, they decide who wins. They make sure they stuff the ballots, and that's not sheker, that's the reality. This it's a frightening world, And that's why it's so far removed from us what it means to, for there to be pure, pure, unadulterated mishpat. And when there will be, in the end of days, something which is, again, so far removed from our minds, pure, unadulterated mishpat, there are going to be arguments made. And the arguments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take very seriously to deal with, acknowledge the arguments, and there'll be a defense and argument, and arguments have to be either proven or disproven. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the people to succeed to a degree in actually causing enormous harm to the Jewish people is the way of Hashem doing a chesed, according to Rashi Kaviyachal, in order to show in the future when it really matters, when the day of reckoning really comes, they should not be able to get off on a loophole, some legal loophole. It should be clear as day the mishpat is emes. It's a very profound thing. When we think in this world something is not fair, Hashem is really it's a chesed, it's a necessary ingredient, the necessary event that will be used against our enemies and used to our benefit at a later point in time. It's the smoking gun. This is the smoking gun. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have done nisim v'niflois, where not even one person would be hurt, would be injured, not even a fly would be disturbed, because there would be such incredible nisim, then the guy will say, what do we do? What do we do? We can't, we didn't do anything. We wanted to come and march upon Yerushalayim. It was only for peaceful purposes.
Peaceful intentions.
This was a protest. It wasn't a riot. It wasn't an intent to kill. Hashem is allowing the enemy to succeed in order to show them up what they're really all about. And there'll be no defense. And the no defense will be a bracha to get rid of them once and for good. Next Rashi, this is exactly what the Mitzvah is done. It's the same thing from the Targum. Everyone over here is coming to the Targum, that what's going to happen in times of Yimos HaMashiach will be equivalent to Kriyas Yamsuf. And that, of course, needs more elaboration. What exactly is the prat? What exactly is the essence of what happened in Kriyas Yamsuf that is going to be... There are many elements of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, there is the Nisim that the Yam split. There is the element that Rosh Shivcha Shabia Mashalosh Ichas Lebuzi. There is the element that Bizas, the Yam spit out the Egyptians, and everyone was able to witness with his own eyes the death of his tormentor. There was the Bizas Hayam. There are so many dimensions to Kriyas Yamsuf. And we're not over here just telling you in a very general term. It's going to be just like Yom Hilochamo B'Yom Kerov, day of war. The day of war was the day of Kriyas Yamsuf. Hashem Yilochem. That's a very important mitzvah of it. What the mitzvah does, it's very critical. Hashem Yilochem, Lochem, He will fight for you. V'yatem tachad Yishun. So that's another element of Kriyas Yamsuf. That there was a war where we did not have to go to war. We watched Hashem fight the war on our behalf. That's another dimension to Kriyas Yamsuf. That was what the Mitzvah David picked up upon. He focused on that element. Hashem will fight the war and we'll do nothing. But there are another 50 elements of Kriyas Yamsuf that you can dwell upon, that you can extract, and you can say will be critical for us to understand what's going on at the time of Melchemes Goig Umagoig. Today, you can't say, today, when you're going to say 100% Hashem Yilochem Lochem, they are sold, they're Chayolim. The whole country participates in the war effort to a degree. Yeah.
Hashem explicitly told Moshe that everybody,
calm down, stay cool. And after they kach, Hashem said, you don't have to daven. Loma titzak elai.
Right.
You don't even have to daven. Loma titzak elai. Daven el nishol v'yisoh. Go to work. Go to yeshiva.
We will have such an advanced notice.
Wait, what do you say? What do you mean?
That we're notified, everybody chill.
Chill out. Hashem will take care of it. Hashem yilochem lochem. Hashem will fight for you. Ve'atem tachad yishun. Quiet. Don't even daven. Don't daven. Don't go to war. Everyone go home. Go to work. Go about your day. Oh, but they're shooting missiles? Don't worry. I got it covered. I'll take care of it for you. The chayolim, you can turn off the Iron Dome. You can turn it off. Everyone go home. Have a nice day. Enjoy yourself with your family. I'll take care of everything for you. Right? It sounds insane. Okay, obviously, we're not living over here in this that generation. But it's on the other hand, you can say just the opposite. Think about this in ancient times. Ancient times, they had missiles also. They had these slingshots, these catapults. They had some very sophisticated weapons in ancient times. So in ancient times, if they were throwing missiles, 4,000 missiles, the whole Klal Yisrael would be galvanized, would be working in a war effort to go and wipe out the enemy. Here we went through 11 days. There was no ground war. There were people in bunkers, flying drones and some airplanes from high above, which were relatively very safe from their vantage point. And there was the Iron Dome, and most of Klal Yisrael went about their day. I mean, they had to go to Cheder Atum, they had to go into bomb shelters and this and that. But on the other hand, to a degree, Hashem yilachim lachem, v'atem tachar yishun. We didn't merit the zechus that we did nothing. We were on the Madrega. There was an Iron Dome. Okay, there is a lot of politics going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of things going on. But relatively speaking, compared to what would have been going on 1,000 years ago, without technology, without all this, the whole Klal Yisrael would be in war mode. Everyone would be picking up their weapons and going out to fight a battle. And here everyone is sitting at home, and there are a couple of electronical devices shooting, doing things that are totally beyond belief for a bullet to hit a bullet with a 90% accuracy, and things that we've never seen before, the technology we've never seen before. And in most of the cloud, there's no ground war. All the soldiers are not, they're not, Baruch Hashem, they're not engaging the enemy in combat. Or you're not going to say that this is an element, that this is a fulfillment to a degree of Hashem Yilochem Lochem V'atem Tacharishun? How could you not say that? Is it 100%? Obviously, no. We didn't merit it to be 100%. Everyone is still very nervous, and everyone is hiding out. Things are not the same. But what compared to what could have been? Mamash, you should make a yomtiv. Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun. It's an incredible thing. So everything has different dimensions. There's another element of hinei yom bo'la Hashem. Let's go to the next kid. That concludes the Rashi. Now let's see the Radak. Radak pasuk aleph. Hinei yom bo. La Hashem yiyo ois hayom. For Hashem it will be that day. Shekvoidoi ugvurosoi bo'is hazman yeyre Hashem's honor and might will appear. V'huz man sheyove gogu magog alad mas yisrob kiyom kiyom. Okay, so again, everyone has, this is only, I don't know why it's only Yecheskel, everyone, all of the prophets have given over their vision of this, of these days. He says only Yecheskel, it's more than Yecheskel, everyone has, every Navi got into the action, as a piece of the action. V'chulak shilalech b'kirbech, Omar k'neged Yerushalayim ki yichaluku ha'goyim shalal ho'ir b'kirbo. So here it's saying, the goyim will. He's putting the focus. He's saying something. It seems like he's coming to disagree with Rashi in the midst of this. It seems like that the subject of chulak shilalech b'kirbech means that the goyim are going to win. Until now, we learned according to Rashi and the Mitzudos is that soif ma'is b'machshav etchila. The pasuk tells us in the beginning what's going to be the end of the war. At the end of the war, Goig u'Magoig will be eliminated, and we will possess their wealth. And then it goes on to say, let me tell you though that it's not going to be so simple. It's a process. And in the process, you're going to lose a lot of battles. Until you win the war, and until you achieve that moment of v'chulak shilalech b'kirbeich, until the war is over, it's going to be painful. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be galus. And we go through the whole process. According to Radak, No, we're not yet up to the winning of the war. The words v'chulak shilalech v'kirbech is part of the battle, that the battles that we will lose. The enemy will penetrate the city and they will despoil the wealth, the assets of Yerushalayim. They'll enter into all of wherever the wealth is, wherever the money is, they will take it for themselves. And what else will they do? They will also gather to Yerushalayim and conquer and demolish buildings and rape women and exile the Jewish people. So the Radak is turning this upside down. He's telling us that the subject of these words is not the Jewish people taking possession of the wealth of the dead of Gog Magog. That comes later.
It's because of the ambiguity of this.
Right, that's the whole nature of Nach.
Who's the winner and who are the losers?
Who's the winner? And especially, as we said 100 times, we're winding down, Zicharia is one of a kind. The ambiguity, the vagueness, the abstractions that are presented in Sefer Zicharia are unparalleled. It is the most raw of the Mevuos, and every single word is subject to interpretation, and many of the commentators openly admit they have no idea what these words mean, and it's just a theory, it's just a hypothesis, it's just conjecture as to attempt to get a little bit of an understanding of what these words mean, and that's why there's so many different opinions, and there's a lack of consensus as to what the words mean. And here you see a great example where he turns it upside down and he says, oh, here means, like one more time, the words, Kinegi Yushalayim ki yichaluku hagoyim. The goyim are the ones that are going to divide the shalal, ho'ir, the spoils of the Sri Vishlam Bikirba. Kimosh amay v'nashas v'nashasu habotim, like the next pasuk goes on to say they're going to demolish the buildings and take for themselves whatever they want. The Yoinasam tier game, Yoinasam disagrees. Okay, exactly. That's exactly why Rashi and the Mitzudas did not go with the parish of the Radak, the approach of the Radak, and where the Rashi and the Mitzudas learned just the opposite. They got it from the Targum. V'nasam tegim hayoyma de asid lemeisei min kodem Hashem the day de asid lemeisei min kodem Hashem bifalgun beYisrael, and the Jewish people. It's explicit in the Targum, the opposite interpretation, that the Jewish people, they are the ones who are going to acquire and divide amongst themselves wealth. Nichsei amamaya bigo Yerushalayim. So sach hakol, so far, we have already 3 perushim as to what these words mean. According to the Mitzvot Tavit, it's the return of our wealth. Throughout history, the Jewish people have been robbed.
I think they got it from the word the nilkedah ha'ir. The goyim coming, the nilkedah ha'ir. So it means that's the next pasuk.
And
then they'll bring whatever they want there.
Right, but that's the next pasuk. The question here is.
So it was right. That's the pshat of the nilkedah ha'ir by the goyim.
But that's the next pasuk. The question is, is the first pasuk a general introduction, which tells us at the end the war will be won by the Jews? Then the next pasuk Beis says, "But let me tell you the whole story," and this pasuk Beis begins to describe battle by battle, and battle by battle we lose. We lose many battles until we ultimately win the war. According to the Radak, the pasuk begins immediately with the battles. We're not yet getting to the end of the war. We're dealing with the battles. And the very first battle we lose. And they immediately take possession of our assets. And then it gets worse. And then the battle expands. All the nations come together to attack. And they demolish property.
The end of war is Pasukim.
Correct.
Right.
The end of the war, right.
Now, Hashem is coming.
That's the end of the war, according to the Radak. But that's clearly not what the Targum says. The Targum makes it clear, as it says, he is the word, the B'nai Yisrael, the Jew, he is the words. The Targum clearly disagrees with the Radak, and the Radak acknowledges that. Because the Targum says, he adds two words, V'falgun beis Yisrael, nichse amamaya. It could not be more explicit that according to the Targum, the first Pasuk is describing the end of the war. Pasuk Gimel also is the end of the war, and then the middle Pasuk Beis describes the battles that were lost in the middle. So Sach HaKol, we have three perushim as to what it means about the Shlom. Either it means the return. The money, that's the spoils, the mitzvahs, he adds in this concept that the truth is, we're not acquiring anything new. We're just getting back the Heshif Es HaGezela Asher Gozal. All of the wealth of the Umay Sa'olam is ours. They stole it from us. And when Goyg U'Magog will be defeated, we're just getting back what was ours. According to Rashi, he doesn't say that. Rashi seems to say that it's new. It's the rules of war. It's their money, it's their assets, it's theirs, but when the war, because of the harm they have attempted to inflict upon the Jewish people, that's the rules of war. Reparations. It's now becomes it's new gained wealth that will enter into our economy. And according to the Radak, we're not even discussing that. We're discussing the losses. We're discussing that we have been robbed. We're not even discussing we're getting back the money, acquiring wealth at all. Pasuk Beis, V'yosafti, I will then inspire all of the nations to attack, to launch an attack. Kilomar, sheyosim belibam lavo el Yerushalayim lamulchama kamosha amar b'nevuah sicheskel v'alisicha miyarkus etzavan v'aviyosich v'aviyosich el hore Yisrael. Hashem is calling the shots. Hashem influences the heart. This goes back to the principles in Paro. Vayichazek Hashem etzleiv Paro. Vayichabed Hashem. There's two different elements. There is being mechazek, the hearts of our enemies, and there is vayichabed, making the hearts of our enemies stubborn. Two very different principles. I saw a David Foreman, I believe his name is. Fantastic stuff. He has really good machshava. These beautiful essays upon these two principles about Vayachbeit. I'm sorry. I didn't pronounce it correctly. I apologize. Vayachbeit. Vayachbeit Hashem. Hashem makes the heart of our enemies stubborn. Verse Vayachazek. Hashem strengthens, gives our enemies resolve, gives them strength, gives them power. The two very different principles. Paro, at different points in time, experienced both. And there are some very, the Mefarshim, they deal with these two different principles over here. It's going to be exactly the same thing. History repeats itself. Muhammad's going to go Magog over here, according to the Radak. The Radak over here is saying over here, saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to inspire their hearts. So you're going to ask, oh, Bechira Chafshit, it's not fair. Everyone has free will. So you got to go back to Shemos. Go back to Paro. How is Kadosh Baruch Hu permitted to either be mechazek or be vayachbeit, to harden the heart? Whatever the answers are over there, which is not for now, is going to be, history is repeating itself, is going to be the same answer when it comes to Milchemes Gog u'Magog, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be controlling their hearts and minds in their behavior towards Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go further. V'nilkedah Where I lost the place for a moment. We are soft. We did vinil kedocha ear. I am on page 845 in the Radak. The Radak pasuk beis in the second Dibur Hamaskel. Vinil kedocha ear, and the city will be conquered. Zoy satzareti al tzareif hashlish. So he's telling us in the Radak that this is a continuation. You see why I told you the chapter breaks. What was the what did we learn right before Perek Yedalid? That there's going to be a purification. Hashem is going to take the Jewish people, the third that remains, and is going to purify them, put them in a kiln, and then test the gold to see if it's really pure by putting it into another fire. According to the Radak, he is clearly telling us that Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis is just a continuation of the previous chapter. So is it really fair for the Christians to insert a chapter break before? Not according to the Radak. And we're going back to what we learned yesterday. So why then, when we read the Haftarah on the first day of Sukkot, did we start with Pasuk Aleph? If this really is not a new section, just a continuation, and there's a continuation of what it said before, we should have started in the previous parak somewhere at a new point in time. Okay, that's all part of the mystery. Exactly where things begin, where things end. And just because the Radak says this, doesn't mean everyone else agrees to the Radak. Rashi and the Mitzudos
made...
Samach is like a pa, it's not about a pay. A Samach is not a pay. A Samach is a Parsha Stuma. It's a new paragraph. It's not a new parsha.
When did the guy actually divide into chapters?
The Christians? I don't know exactly. The year 500?
1200.
So recent. The chapter breaks came in the year 1200. Wow, that's pretty recent. The Christians they've been around for over 1200. What?
Looks like Rashi didn't
have it. Rashi never says it. Of course, the Rishonim, you don't find the Rishonim ever. Right? Correct. Correct. The Rishonim never ever make mention of the secular chapter breaks. Never. Correct. So it came in, I think, the year 12. That's Rashi died way before that. Rashi was 1106. Rashi died 1106. Rashi would never ever mention Perek something. Never. What?
Maybe he didn't know or he didn't do
it. You asked me a good question.
There
was no printed books. Obviously, the chapter breaks and these things first began when there was a proliferation of print. I mean, we know when you can get a hand of how many manuscripts were there already? So I don't know.
They needed it beforehand because they needed, when they had a disputation,
Had a reference.
They didn't know what he was talking about. He said, look, they did this. They did
so
this.
How did they indeed refer to the parashios before? Rashi cross-references every so often.
Right.
He just quotes the pasuk.
They talk about parsha.
He quotes the pasuk. The parashios was put in by the typesetter.
Right, he quotes the general, the beginning of the sefer.
Rashi and the...
Yes.
They refer to parsha.
Right, but they don't have a number. There was never a numbering system.
Those were inserted in the
much later. When Rashi and the Rishonim referred to different, they saw Chumash in Chumash Bamidbar in the beginning. In the beginning, or they say they use certain terms, but there is no numbering system. Today, chapter and verse, that expression. You quote chapter and verse. Like I know a fellow, he loves to show off. He does such a thrill. Every time tell a Maimon Chazal, he says Brachos Lamed Aleph, Psachim Chaf Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. He just loves to brag and show off.
Fact check or you just
No, he knows the stuff. This guy, he knows the stuff. He doesn't. He just knows what he knows, and he likes to use it. He recycles the same things over and over again. And he loves just to talk in riddles.
Did you ever hear Rabbi Eitan Feiner?
So he quotes
everything.
Everything is sourced.
To the page.
And which line? And which line and which paragraph under this footnote and that footnote is actually entertaining, right? 100% right. He's a legend for his Mari Mekoymas. Okay, as he cites it, Mamish. You know what was the most amazing thing I heard one of them say? This is you mentioned Eden Fine talking about chapter and verse. This is what is called giving kavod. This was, I didn't actually see it. I wasn't there, but someone told me about this, and I only can imagine what went on. And this is a Musa Haskim of life. This was an amazing. So Rabbi Avraham Shor, everyone here knows who Avraham Shor is. He's a very chashva, holy rabbi. He's a fundamentalist. He's okay, Baruch Hashem, he's okay. Baruch Hashem, he came here, he I invited him. It was different times, he spoke, when we learned Sefer Eiv, we made a scene here in the Young Israel room, in this room, and he spoke. I invited him on a Friday morning, and I had to ask him 10 times. And the last one, he told me he can't come. I said, you told me you come, I told him. All right. So he came. It was a miracle that he came, and he spoke. He spoke very, very well, and even he acknowledged that he spoke because he asked me, late next week, he wanted a recording of what he said. There was a different times. Those days he was local. He was around the corner. He had a shul literally around the corner, right in the Or Yitzhak building. I would see him all the time. Now he moved away to a different location. So I don't really see him. Konyal, he's across the street from Eichler's. I don't know, even though it's not so far away, it's a different world now. Times have changed, things are different. But they make a dinner for a shul every year. This is an unbelievable thing I'm telling you. Make a dinner for Eitan Feiner, what it means to chapter and verse. They make a dinner for a shul every year. And the Balabatim always invite a guest speaker to be at the, they make a very big dinner to raise money. And one year they invited Harav Eitan Feiner to be the guest speaker at Rabbi Shur's dinner. Rabbi Shur is a Talmud Chacham like none other. He is brilliant beyond belief. He knows there's nothing he doesn't know. And I can't say that because I don't know anything to test him, but this is what they say about him. And he wrote many svarim, many svarim, and I have a lot of them, and they're really good. They're powerful stuff. A lot of it is very esoteric, things that I am able to gain from. So Harav Eitan Feiner comes and he speaks. You know what he says? He gave a long drasha, and he says, in this sefer, on this page, the Rav wrote this, and on this page, in this paragraph, the Rav, Rabbi Shur, in Halekech V'Halivov, he made a whole drasha bringing together the chidushin of Harav Avraham Shur from all of his svarim. He gave a drasha. He spoke maybe for half an hour. And what did he say in here? He made a drasha putting together a smorgasbord and a chalent what the Rav of the shul that he's speaking, Rav Avraham Shur, wrote in his sefer, in his svarim. The Rav in this volume on page so-and-so, in Tapcha Parav, he said this incredible chiddush. And with this we can understand what the Rav said in the other sefer he wrote on this page, in this paragraph. But that's a contradiction to what the Rav said on this volume in Rosh Hashanah on page 36 on the bottom. But we can be miyashev what the Rav said with what else, what the Rav wrote on the Chelik of Yom Kippur on page 103 on the third paragraph. And to enhance that, go look what the Rav wrote in Rosh Hashanah on page 76 on the bottom paragraph in the footnote. That really explains all of this together. And if you don't believe me, then that this is what the Rav really meant to say, why not check out what the Rav wrote in Chanukah and what he wrote in the Haggadah on this section, on this page. I mean, wow. It's like unreal the cover you can give a person in front of his balabatim.
And the pace.
And the pace, nonstop, the breathtaking. This fellow, Rabbi, he knows all of the stuff. He went through the whole thing, everything he ever wrote. He knows everything, and he knows exactly where everything is on every page, and he's able to make a whole shtickle Torah out of the Rav's own Torah. You could imagine that Rabbi Shur was sitting there and smirking. I mean, is that not amazing or what? And the mus is, that's how you give kavod. You don't go to a place and say your own chidushim, your own ideas. If you're here as a guest speaker to be mechabed the shul, the balabatim, and the people who they selected to be their rav, so you know what you do? The biggest kavod is you say over the chidushim, the divrei Torah, that your rav, the people who you select to be your rav, what he was mechadesh. What greater kavod is there than that? Than to go, instead come, let me tell you what I have to say. My chidushim, my ideas. It's one thing to come and to say something nice. It's even a nicer thing to say what he was mechadesh and bring that out. What is the complete opposite of this? The complete opposite. Someone told me this joke 2 days ago. A boy goes out with a girl on a date. Goes out, they go to a nice lobby or a restaurant, whatever, and the boy starts talking. And he starts talking about himself. You know what I do? I do this, I do that. Let me, he gives over to the girl his resume, and he embellishes, and he talks about himself. I, me, myself, and I for an hour. And the girl can't get a word in edgewise. Finally, after an hour of bragging how great he is, he says to the girl, "Oi, look what I've done. Look what I've done. I've taken up all the time talking about myself. What about you? Let me stop now. Let me stop now. Let me hear from you what you think of me. What you think of me." Okay? Instead of saying, "Let me hear about you," no, let me hear what you think of me. That's the extent of caring about someone else. Not that you can care less about them, but you want to hear what they're going to say about you. Now, getting back to our topic of discussion, let's finish up the Radak over here. V'neshasu abotim, so over here, v'nilkadoch ha'ir, we did already, no, let's do it again, v'nilkadoch ha'ir, get back to Dibur Maskil, Pasuk Beis, page 845, Pasuk Beis, the second Dibur HaMaskil, v'nilkadoch ha'ir, the ear will be conquered, zoysat sartiyah l'tzof ha'shlisha, I think that's what we said over here, this topic, that's where we got sidetracked, is the Radak is telling us there should not have been a chapter break. This is a direct continuation of the previous section of where the remnant of the Jewish people are going to be purified. And the purification, fortunately, is not pleasant. This is a very famous pasuk in our generation, unfortunately. Hide. Hide. First time I heard this pasuk was when I was a little kid, the first Persian Gulf War. Remember those days when everyone had to wear a gas mask? Remember those days? In Eretz Yisrael, everyone had to have a gas, they gave out gas masks, and the Cheder Otumi had to go to a sealed room. Chavi kima'at rega. Hide, just for a moment. Ad yavor zo'am. Until the anger, Hashem's anger passes.
Duck until the wave passes.
And another nevuah, citing chapter and verse, all these different sukkim, it will be an ace tzara, ashaloniyasa miyoyzgoi. He doesn't. The chapter and verse was what the editor put in, but they don't, like we said. But these the psukim will be an ace tzara, ashaloniyasa miyoyzgoi. It's going to be a difficult time like there never was. V'noshasu abotim mi po'alei hakefel. Okay, he's saying over here, he's giving us some a grammar lesson. Shar shoy shoseis. Shin Samach Samach, v'chein minosan l'meshisa Yaakov, is a pasuk that who would have known that the Jewish people would be trampled, would be demolished, would be trampled. Inyan bezeh v'shalom. Okay, I don't know what he means by that. It means that the Jewish people, they're going to be plundered. There's going to be churban. There's going to be churban amongst the Jewish people. V'yotza chatzio ir begoyler, rotza loymar, she'yaglum eno ir kishavuyim el oholehem, she'im chutz lo'ir, they're going to be exiled. Pshutu kemashmoy. Ad kan yanichim ha'kel yisparach b'yad oivehem, litzoref oysam. Hashem will only allow our enemies, give them permission, give them power, up to 50%. Hashem will not grant them power, authority, to harm us at this moment in time in history, whenever this was, or is, whatever, more than 50%. Chetzion, the molet kol hanimsa kosub sefer, the remnant will survive. The remnant will survive. It says chatziu ir, but say the kabel atzor b'lev toiv. And this is a very interesting thing. It says over here, the Radak is eating over here, is that the Jewish people are going to be makabel. He's saying this. I don't know where he's getting this from. Obviously, yeah, the whole picture is acceptance. Acceptance is a very, very powerful concept. The ability to accept a difficult situation. Okay, in psychology, I remember. He comes on Friday sometimes. What's his name?
Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis. Dennis's last name. Dennis. What's his last name? I gotta forget. He told me there are three steps.
Wilbur.
Dennis Wilbur. So he once explained to me, he's a professional psychologist, and he explained to me that in the world of psychology, there are different stages. When a person is faced with something which tragedy, the first state in the mind is denial. Is denial. Total denial. I thought he told me the second state is another intermediary state that every person goes through. After you pass through denial, then there's another state. And the last state is acceptance. And psychologists have to know this, because some people can get stuck in denial. In order to be healed, a person has to go through, you have to go through all three steps. And the last step is acceptance. Acceptance. And when an acceptance, obviously, it's a whole process. And then you're able to become functional once again in your life. But some people, Rahmana Litzlan, they cannot get through the three steps. They get stuck at denial. Or, I don't remember the steps, maybe it's shock, denial, I don't know, I don't remember the whole thing. But psychologists have spent centuries understanding the human condition, how the mind works when it comes in face with horrors.
Denial, anger, acceptance.
Denial, anger, you said, Rachel says denial, anger, and acceptance. Those are the three stages. Denial, and you cannot skip a step. There's no Malach Elohim Tzavakos in this world that can just, don't worry, I could deal with it. So I'm not in denial, I'm not angry, and I accept. Impossible. In this world, there's no shortcuts. You cannot get rich quick. There's no such thing. There are no shortcuts. Everything in this world, everyone has to go through the steps. If the steps in dealing with tragedy is denial, anger, and acceptance, so there has to be denial, there has to be anger, there has to be acceptance. Sometimes the sorrow is so great, a person can't move through the steps. He's stuck in denial, and he's stuck in denial for 50 years. So psychologists, what do? They take the person, they help them achieve denial. And then they help them achieve anger. And then they bring them into acceptance. They help them move through the natural states of mind that Hashem made a human being experience in order to once again re-emerge better and stronger than ever. That's what a psychologist, that's why they get good money, is to understand what is the natural process, which is very ugly, it's very ugly, but that's the way it is, and to help them move healthily through the three stages. So when the Radak over here says these words, and it says, V'yikabel hatsara b'leiv toiv, a psychologist would pick up on these words and write his PhD thesis on the frame of mind of Mohammed's Goy Gumogog Lufi the Radak. They're going to accept. Well, wait a minute. Where's the denial? Where's the anger? Where are the other stages? Okay, you gotta see what's going on over here.
That's why religion helps a lot in steps. It's still difficult.
It's impossible. Difficult is not the word. But there's an incredible chachma in dealing with people with this. They have professionals. You hear all these stories every time Rachman does a tzara. So they bring into the schools professionals to help people deal with the problems. I remember many years ago, I remember someone on my block, the father who told this to me, the principal, the assistant principal told this to me. It really, many years ago, blew my mind. It was someone on my block. His mother passed away. A very chashuva woman. She died very, very young. A very chashuva family. And she left over a whole bunch of yisayim. It's incredible tragedy. It happened about 10 years ago. Incredible tragedy. On my block. And the boys, they were in yeshiva, and the assistant principal also happened to live in the block. And he told me that the yeshiva, Chaim Blin, Baruch Hashem, they have money to do this. Not everyone has money to do this. They brought into the yeshiva professionals to talk to the Rebbeim. not to talk to the kids. They have now kids in the class who just went through a terrible tragedy. They lost their mother, little children. It was a very, very difficult matzav to tell the Rebbeim, to train the Rebbeim how to deal with the children in the class. They're going to get up from Shiva, they're going to come back to class to tell the Rebbeim what to expect and train them professionally what to do. And he told me, I don't know, all the, told him some stories. He says the professionals told the Rebbe or the Rebbeim, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a situation in the class, in the class setting, where a boy or girl is going to say ABC, and it's going to trigger in this child who just went through this experience this reaction. I guarantee you this is what's going to happen. Now, let me tell you what you should do. Because if I don't tell you what to do, you're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know how to respond. You're going to, whatever you'll do, you'll do something, and most likely it'll be something that'll be foolish, will only make the problem even worse. This is the professional way to handle the situation. And he said, sure enough, it's exactly what the psychologist said happened. A boy in the class said something. It right away triggered a reaction from this boy who came back got up from Shiva. And because the Rebbe was trained, immediately he said the right words and transformed the situation in such a way that was an incredible benefit for the child and prevented any further escalation of any problem. There's an incredible benefit to this. It's the real deal. This type of training and understanding of how the mind works and the process is extremely valuable. And a lot of it, you know, you can find in Chazal. You have to find the Chazal. It's not so easy, obviously, but over here, when he says over here something like this, it's a very, very powerful. It's interesting to write that very quickly. V'yes om lo yikores min o'ir, ki lo yidim ho'kel yisparach oid bi'areveim v'yiskabru yishol al ha'oivim. Hashem will not allow them to remain in the hands of the enemies, and they will prevail upon their enemies. Be'ezras ha'kel yimohem, v'zeo sh'omar v'yos Hashem milcha b'goyim. Pasa gimel v'yos Hashem b'yom krev b'yom milchama targum milchama kirava. The targum of milchama means war. Kirava, it's a very popular word in targum. V'chein toy v'chachma mikli korav. Chachma, diplomacy is better than actual battle. Okay, isn't that interesting words? Toiva chachma, better chachma, wisdom, than miklei krav, than weapons, the weapons of war. V'hadoimim loy, v'amar b'yom krav, lo perish b'ezim l'chama. Okay, the question, we learned twice, it refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. U'perushay kitarguma kiyom agachusei, Kirov al yomo disuf. The day Hashem agrochusei. What's what agrochusei mean? Negicha? Hashem provoked. Ki yigach shor ish. The word ki yigach means he provoked.
To engage.
But it means over here, who shot the first shot? Who? That's always the big question in war. Preemptive strike? Mm-hmm. Or is it a response? So the word ki yigach has a connotation. You are the one who is guilty. You took the first shot. By Kriyas Yamsuf, who took the first shot? Was it Hashem who took the first shot? Or did Hashem respond as a defensive measure to the Egyptians? So this is an explosive statement that the Radak is saying. Radak is saying from Targum is that we look at, how do we look at Kriyas Yamsuf? We look at it, you read the Psukim, it was a defensive, IDF, the Israeli defensive force. It wasn't a preemptive strike. The Egyptians decided to chase after us and kill us. So we defended, Hashem defended us. They went into the Yemen and it was
just like what happened.
Act of defense.
You made a trap for them. You opened the Yamsuf.
Oh.
You told the Arabs we're going to attack in Gaza. We're walking in, so they.
So it's more than that. The whole. It's even more than that. The whole plot, the whole, according to Chazal, this is something we're out of time, we have to stop it, but this whole, according to Chazal, the entire episode of Kriyas Yamsuf was a preemptive attack on the Egyptians. Even though, when you look at it at face value, when you read the Psukim, we were victims. We left Egypt, and we're minding our own business, and all of a sudden, the whole Egypt is chasing after us, trying to kill us. So we're going to defend ourselves. We're going to jump into the Yam, and we're going to have the Yam. Hashem is going to go and cause the Yam. No, that's not the way it was. We were minding our own business. We launched a preemptive strike on the Egyptians. We lured them out. We pulled them out. We took all of their possessions. We made them jealous. The whole thing from the perspective of Hashem was Hashem provoked this, brought this upon them. It was a preemptive strike. It was an offensive act.
The best defense is a good offense.
The best defense is an offense, but it's more than that. It wasn't even a defense. It was a way Hashem was trying to provoke them and obliterate them. And Hashem did it in such a way where it looked like we were just defending ourselves. Now, that's quite a pill to swallow. And the pill gets much more difficult to swallow when we acknowledge that in the times of Mashiach, it's going to be the same thing. In the times of Mashiach, is the Israeli Defensive Force going to be called the Israeli Defensive Force? They're going to change their name. The Israeli Offensive Force.
They already have it.
Okay.
IAF, Israeli
Air Force. No, it's not. The IAF is the Israeli
offensive.
Air Force.
Offensive.
Air Force. No, Klal Yisrael were very, it's I know there's no nation in the world. You know another nation in the world that has something called the defensive, the Israeli there's the military, the Marines, the macho. Okay, you obliterate people off the face of the earth. Only in Eretz Yisrael are Jews. Jews, the Israel defensive. Wow, such nice people. We're only on the defense.
So what you're saying is he's giving the enemy a taste of
we are attacking them in a unique way. It's an aggressive. It's an act of offense. Okay, this is what the kiyoim agochuse kirov al yomo desuf. Agochuse means ki yigach. Hashem, the Targum here says an explosive statement. And when you connect what the Targum says there to what's going to happen in Musa Mashiach, it's not like it seems, we're minding our own business in Eretz Yisrael, and they're coming to chapel with us, to bother us, so we defend ourselves. No. We're going to say to the world, come, battle stations, bring it on. We're going to provoke them to attack. So that we can get rid of them once and for all. That's an explosive statement. No, is it not, Mark? That's an explosive statement.
The most exclusive unit in the army is the 81, which is the intelligence.
Yeah.
Which gets the information.
Yes.
And puts all the
not people. Intelligence. That's not intelligence. Is used across the board.
Yeah, but
intelligence is very intriguing. I have to go to West Point and see what they teach about battles, how they define these terms. Everything's a chachma. Over here, Kiyomi Agochuse Kirov al Yamusuf ki os hoyu Yisrael bitsoro gidoila ki ha mitzvim hoyu roit fi machareyam yamalochem Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem Hashem yilochim lochem yatem tacharishon b'chinam ayinev yos Hashem nuchem agamoyim. He finishes off similar to the Mishnah David, but reveals the Targum. The Targum appears to clearly indicate, say, add in a word that is an explosive word that changes the dynamics of how we look at Kriyas Yamsuf. I don't think that's the way the average person is a Kriyas Yamsuf, and being that its history will repeat itself in Yimos HaMashiach, it's an entirely different perspective of how Goygu Mogogu, the war, will play out. I have to stop here. After, I have a very interesting topic after the break, and that is at the end of the parasha, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Miriam, gives her Musar. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, says to Miriam and Aaron, how dare you speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu? Do you know that Art Scroll wrote a book about Moshe, and Moshe is perfect. He's beyond perfect. He's a Malach Elokim Tzvos. He has no faults, nothing wrong. The proof is in the pudding. There's an Art Scroll book. the life and history of Moshe Rabbeinu. How then can you speak Lashon Hara? I have a very good article in headlines from Rabbi Lichtenstein about the concept of viewing Gedolei Yisrael as being perfect. Or are they fallible, like all of us? Okay, it's a fascinating article. It's a fascinating article. A lot of very beautiful ideas. New things. Mir to Shem in 2 minutes. Be back 1 second.
Good morning, everybody. You're welcome.